Hello and welcome to my Hold You By The Hand 4-week online training program. You've made it to week number 2 and I'm so glad that you're a part of the program and that you're progressing. This must mean that you've already looked at week 1, you've devoured it, you've taken it step by step. You've listened to the question and answer teleseminar that we conducted last week and you're ready to go in week 2. So without further ado, let's get started with week number 2. By taking you through the steps that you can take to get development started right now. These are action steps. This is what you can do right now to get this thing started. You know, don't look at this as just a way to gather information and say, oh, well, that guy's really taking us through it all. And, you know, I know there's a lot of concepts. I know there's a lot of theoretical sounding stuff. But I want to give you this development process so that you can get started right away. I've given you several ways in week number 1 to actually go about building your community, from the do-it-yourself to the full service to the white label programs out there. I mean, you got sites like Ning and OneSite, Multiply, to all the way to sites like the do-it-yourselfers and the open sources and the Drupals and the Joomlas and the post nukes. And so what I'm going to focus on here is for the folks that say, well, I do want to take it custom because those over the shelves, maybe those white labels, they're too generic for me. And I do need some things done that if I could have a programmer to really listen to me and see all the things I want, I think I could really build something valuable to the group of people that I'm bringing together. And that's who I'm going to help right now through this process. So here's some of the steps that you want to take. Number one, you want to plot out using some kind of mind map software or outline every feature and benefit you'd like for your community to have. Now you can use my 30-minute music video tour as a stimulant. You can find that on the main page of the actual program, or you can actually look at my behind the scenes project that I was kind of hesitant to actually reveal so soon, but it's also on the homepage and it takes you step by step through what I do personally in the beginning of a project, from the conception of the project to bringing it out on Rent-A-Coder and sites like that. Now, at this point, don't worry about organization. Just write and think. Just think and write. Just be disorganized at this point. Just take it out and just go to this mind map program and just everything you can think of. Using my site and some of the examples that I've already given you and some of the things I'm going to show you in week 2 as sort of a foundation. Now, just to give you an idea, I'm going to open FreeMind. Now, you can get FreeMind, I believe, at freemind.sourceforge.net. It's on one of my slides here. And basically, this is how it looks. Let me drag it over so that you can see it. It's just a regular looking sheet. You know, it looks like just a blank document. It starts with a circle in the middle. Here you would put your site. And it's very easy. You can either right click and go new child node, which is insert. I generally learn the shortcut, so I just click on it. I press insert on my keyboard, and then it gives me my next idea, which, okay, there it is. It's a little slow there. And then I can type, you know, feature 1. Then I can press enter. I could go feature 2. Then I go feature 3. Then I can come back around. I can go feature 4. Then I could, you know, make another one and call this the purpose, you know, mission or something like that. And then, you know, you can click here and drag them all the way up here, you know. And then if you want to, you know, go sub childs from there, they call them child nodes or something. Then you can go, you know, sub feature 1, and then you go sub feature 1, 1, 1, and then you go sub feature 1, 3, and then, you know, so forth. And then here, You can add things there and you end up with this really big, elaborate mind map. Let's see if I have a few just to show you, like for my audio project that I'm working on. Notice how big this is. You know, it's a lot going on here. And I did this in 30 minutes. So, you know, take it serious, get some kind of mind map or some kind of software that, you know, you can just start mapping out ideas. You know, you can organize them later. You can figure it out later, but just get this program. And then what you're going to do for step two, and I actually put it right here, it's freemind.sourceforge.net. And the day I got hooked on to this, recommended by another friend of mine's, I haven't stopped using it. So if you're not using mind mapping, I'm telling you, I know I say right here not to worry about organization, but just inherit and using the program is going to keep you organized, because you're going to have these, you know, all these nodes everywhere. And then you can put children nodes, and then you can put sibling nodes, and then you can change a certain node a certain color. And so it'll be great for you. Now, after you have that, what you want to do is prioritize which elements are most important to you, which ones are least important to you. And I talked about this in the teleseminar. And what I pretty much break it up into is A grade features, B grade features, and C grade features. And basically what A grade features are, these are things you cannot live without. They must be active before launching your community. And out of your mind map, you can either highlight those certain colors, you can make them certain sizes, you can outline them in certain patterns, you know, you can put them on certain sides of the screen. B grade features, those are things that you can live without, but you don't necessarily, you know, have to have them. You can live without them. They'd be nice to have them, but they don't have to be there before launch. They don't have to be active. You can time release them, time release. And sometimes it's better to time release things, because you start building this camaraderie among your community, because it seems like you're always releasing stuff. It's like, hey guys, check out the new, you know, features over here. And people are like, wow, thank you. You guys are always looking out for us, rather than just coming out with everything and people get spoiled. And it's hard for you to, you know, keep beating yourself. So sometimes people start with just, you know, the core functionality, the grade features, you know, and then they add these in. Now, the grade C features, those are things you can definitely live without, and you don't even need them. It wouldn't make you or break you. They're mere extra desires, and they're nice to have at some point, and you can pretty much implement those at any time. Anybody can do them for you. You know, they're those $50 to $100 jobs generally, you know, nothing big. So that's what you do. Secondly, you basically categorize either by color coordination or size or outline. And so this will give you an idea how to approach step number three, which is pretty much determining your budget. You can consider, first of all, the extensivity of your project, because if your project is huge, you better have a huge budget. Don't be trying to come in at $500 to do, you know, things beyond what you've even seen me do. And, you know, so, you know, I started with $500, but after 8 months of just literally just taking my, you know, ripping my community apart, you know, it ended up being much more than that, but I didn't have to pay it all at once. You know, it was like, you know, $500 here, you know, $800 there, you know, $600 there. And then, you know, at the end of the day, come, you know, from May 2005 to February 2006, it doesn't seem that much. But when you add up all those PayPals, you know, it is. So consider that. Next, are you going to go with all grades? I mean, are you doing this A, B, C, D, you know, D, E, F, G, all up ahead of time? Or will you start with just your grade A features? Because you can get a better deal that way. Just psychologically, if you just release things in phases to your programmers, you know, if I would have, you know, come to Eunice and probably asked him for everything I was thinking from the beginning and really, you know, making this sound like it's going to be something huge and, you know, it's going to be out of this world. You know what? I honestly think that my prices, and not only his prices, but the prices of other coders would have been extremely higher. So, you know, just come in phases. That's one route. Or you can just go all out. You know, if you have the budget and you want to get this thing over with and you don't have time to be kind of time releasing and stuff, and you just kind of want to start and you'll take it from there, that's a route as well. It just depends on you. Now, it also depends on how quickly you need it. Now, if you're talking about I need this thing, you know, in a week or so, you know, urgency will be more expensive for you. But if you come across as laid back, you know, for example, you know, I need this in a month or so, but, you know, no biggie on that end, you know, you can get cheaper rates. Step four, what you would do is post on some kind of freelance network so you can start getting bids. Now, of course, if you listen to my teleseminar number one, You know, I recommend people like Eunice, you know, Brian Deese. I have some other contacts as well that do, you know, programming and designing. But those are my top guys in terms of community building. Eunice having by himself taken, you know, open source technology from the very beginning and just customizing the heck out of it to the point where you wouldn't call it justice. You know, you wouldn't say it right to call our community any one of the particular open sources, because it's pretty much its own thing. It's been customized so much, and you can't go install it and expect to get the same thing, nor can you go and try to, you know, take certain modules that are open and available out there and add them to ours now, because we've totally changed things. So, you know, we've just kind of taken the engine and turned it into something else. This is something I always say in my posts. I start them out by saying this is a piece of cake for someone who knows what they are doing. And I got this a long time ago, and I don't know what it is. It might be psychological or something, but it kind of, what it does is sets the precedence. And I had a friend who put up a project for a pretty simple website. It was a printing website. And long story short, I guess the programmers could sense that he was new. And his bids came back anywhere from $1,000 to $7,000, because maybe he sounded unsure. I don't know what it was. But when I come, I take the authoritative approach. I say, you know what? This is a piece of cake. If you know what you're doing, you know, I have these things lined up. And if you've done something like this before, you know, you're definitely a prime candidate, and this should be a piece of cake. This is nothing. I'm not asking for anything. You know, nobody else hasn't done before. I take that kind of approach without being a snob or anything like that. But I reposted my friend's bid, the same exact project, and the highest he got was $1,000 after I did. So, you know, go look at some of my extra tutorials on the homepage that I posted. You've seen me, you know, do my audio project on Rent-A-Coder. I had some other tutorials, our teleseminar and things like that. Go through those. Another thing that I picked up, and this actually, I won't take credit for this one. I got this from a client. What you can do, because a lot of the coders on Rent-A-Coder, what they'll do is this, it's a numbers game for them. So they'll try to reply to as many posts, you know, figuring that if they can pretty much do it pretty much. And so they don't really read all of it. They'll just reply. And if they do read, they don't reply with a personal, you know, response. It'll just be like, we've been 5 years in business and we do PHP and MySQL and we know how to do this, that, and the other. What you can do is post some type of specific instructions in the body of your message to make sure they read the entire job description. Like, just out of nowhere, you can have parentheses and say, oh, by the way, I want to make sure all the coders are reading my entire message. So if you see this right here, begin your post with Iggy Biggy. I don't know. It could be anything. Begin your post with Nitty Gritty, or begin your post with, you know, a certain initials or some kind of symbol or something like that, just to let me know that they've read the post. And that's a very helpful tip right there, because you want to pick somebody who's serious from the beginning, because they're not reading posts. Who knows? They're skipping over, you know, important things in your job description, you know, and these other people come back and they skipped over a whole section, which is a key part of your project. And at the end, you guys got to go back and kind of undo things just because you guys weren't on the same page. So kind of helps to do things like this. And if they do submit a canned reply, what I find myself doing is just calling them out on it. You know, if you go to my bonus Camtasia videos, you'll see me. And I call them out and I ask them for a specific reply. It's to the effect like, you know, thanks for replying, but this seems like a total canned message. I have no idea if you have the ability to do my specific project. You know, please reply. A lot of them feel embarrassed after that, so they won't even reply, which tells me their intentions. And I'm fine with it. As long as I have enough people that are replying and in my price range and are serious, it's almost like a filter anyway. And also, if they do reply more specifically, just keep that in mind, though. Use that to make your final decision, because there's always going to be some programmers, in my experience at least, that do take the time to write back detailed replies and even tell you which routes they, you know, look forward to using. You know, that's something I also post in my bids as well. Please let me know how specifically you will bring about what I want, you know. And I'll have people saying, I'm going to use the C++ interface and I'm going to use this kind of, you know, I don't know the terminology, nor do I want to, but they'll be replying with their specific route or the specific route they're going to take. And if I find that, you know, two or three programmers are saying the same exact thing, I'm like, okay, well, they must be on point, because not three from totally different areas of the world and expertises are going to tell me to use, you know, this particular interface. So it's also like a research process as well. There's not a time I don't post something on Rendercoder that I don't end up learning something in return for free, even before I have to pick a programmer or pay anyone. So step four is very important. And ask specific follow-up questions to narrow down your choices. This is very important. You don't just want to go with the first person with the cheapest price. I've been there, done that. You don't want to necessarily go with the person just because they have an expensive price. It is not necessary that you're going to get the Mercedes quality or Ferrari quality. They might just be high to be high. I found that in the past, Romania has been cheaper than it is now. I don't know if, you know, it's a thing that they realize that everybody's going there and all the marketers talk about them and stuff. But I find that my prices from Romania are a lot higher now than my prices from India or the Philippines or Malaysia, just to give you my own personal perspective. So you really have to, you know, follow up and narrow it down, and don't do it by, you know, unless you're just looking for somebody domestic. And in the cases of that, Rendercoder actually lets you limit the programmers that see your bid. So if you only want domestic or in the United States or in your particular country, then you can do that. Now, I particularly always just open it up so that any kind of programmer, you know, regardless, I prefer overseas. It is more affordable. And for the most part, you can get the same quality of work, you know. I got Eunice, and Eunice is, he studied in Pakistan, then he went and studied in Japan, and then he worked in France. So he's been all over the world and is considered one of the top in my book. And if the prices are way below your budget, one thing I found to do, and sometimes they will be below your budget, like just two or three prices combined, you're like, dang, I didn't think I'd be paying this cheap. Consider working with two or more programmers at once. Rendercoder, for example, lets you do that. You can actually pick two. And you can have communication separately between the two as though they're just two separate projects. Now, there's a little shuffling that you got to, you know, be skilled enough to do. You can't be replying to one programmer and forgetting that the other programmer is the one you should be replying to. Things like that. It can get a little confusing. I wouldn't be doing three or four. But this is a route that I've also taken and even considered taking if you watch my bonus video on my audio project that I just started. So that's always a route to go. So after you got your coder, and I'm telling you, it's very easy once you get used to it. I mean, people ask me, how do I get this done? How do I do it? You know what? I can sit here and lie to you and tell you that I go do it myself every time, and I go research it heavily, and I go, you know, I don't do that most of the time. This audio project that I showed you bonus footage from was literally conceived 10 minutes before I pressed play record on my Camtasia software. You saw everything. I hadn't been thinking of this project months before now. I had been thinking of the concept, but not as a software program. My programmers are, you know, they're currently working on it. It's halted, sort of, you know, it's bigger than I thought for them to do it. You know, but I said, why don't I just make a program that I can even sell in the future? First of all, it'll be beneficial to me. Second of all, I can sell it to other people that want it. And that idea started, that program software started within, you know, 10 minutes. Within 30 minutes, I had a mind map, a full outline. Within 40 minutes, it was up on Rendercoder. Within a day or two, I had 7 replies. Within 4 days, I had picked my coder. Within, you know, 6 days, they had replied and gotten started with the demo for me to see the interface. So just go figure. It isn't that hard. And I'm telling you, I'll make a bet with you. Once you get hooked on these freelance services, I'm not saying they're the best, but once you get, you know, hooked on Rendercoders and your Gurus and your Elance, you won't be able to let them go. And I'm not saying you're always going to get the best coder. That comes from intuition. That comes from really going through and taking your time with each programmer who's replied to your bid, asking specific questions, not going for the canned ones all the time, not going for the cheapest ones all the time, and really looking at the ones that educate you and are serious about the project and at their ratings and what other people have said about them in the past. And when you combine all of these things together, my recommendation to you is that you won't fail with it. And if you do once or twice, you will find programmers that can be worthwhile to you. Like I found Eunice and some of the other people that I still work to, I work with till this day. And step five, pick that coder, work with the coder closely, be detailed in your instructions of what you want. Don't just say clone this site or clone that site, because there's only an extent to, you know, the specificity there. I mean, they can go to it. I've done that before. Let's just say that. And half of the features that I wanted that I figured, because I said clone this site and I thought I was taking the easy route, were not included. And it made the project that much longer with me having to go through each one and figuring out what's there and what's not. So you do the grunt work in the beginning, and that's why I said take the mind map. You line it out numerically, you know, ordered, and you know, your grade A's, your grade B's, your grade C's. They don't have to know that, you know, they're grade A's, B, and C's, but it's the way you position them to them. Take it from there, make checklists and tie deadlines to each item in your checklist. This is what I did with Eunice, and I tell the story of me being in Fiji in between activities, actually sitting down at the computer at $2 a minute and actually going to Rent-A-Coder and seeing that he's completed certain things in my checklist. Because all we would do, I would upload a Word doc that would be like 20 pages long with several check boxes in it and things like that, or bullet points. And he would basically, when he was done with so many of them, he turned them red, put the little strike through, puts a little line through them basically. And that's how we progressed. And I was able to go, and in those stages, when you're building something that, you know, tons of people are going to be on, tens of thousands of users, I mean, there's this sense of pride when you're going through each check. I mean, you're just like, wow, you're because it's yours. You know, this is about to be on your side. Before, I had never built a community. I never had people with their own profiles and sending messages to each other. I'm housing all of this now. So those checklists and those deadlines, and he never, and when we were late, I mean, he wasn't late that much, but when we were late, I mean, there was definitely a reason why. Maybe we weren't on the same page and things like that. And sometimes I put my deadlines maybe 5 days before I really want them, because maybe I expect there to be, you know, some delays that we didn't plan for. And on Rent-A-Coder, every Friday, coders must submit a weekly status report. You can turn this off, and some coders, you know, want you to turn it off because they just want to work without pressure and things like that. But I recommend you keep it on. And one thing that me and Eunice did in our early stages is we use Instant Messenger to communicate instantly. And if they're like my programmers, they can make changes right on the spot. And you'll get in the habit of coming on maybe an hour or two a day, you know, depending on their time zone. And they can actually show you things. And if they're fast enough, you can actually say, no, I don't like this, can you move this? And generally with Eunice, 5 minutes later, I'd go continue what I was doing. 5 minutes later, I get that little nudge, you know, an MSN. And with a refresh, I can refresh my website, and those changes would be active. So those were the years. Those were the days. We still do that, of course, but I don't have the 20-page checklist because these days it's just little add-ons that we're doing. And compliment and cheer your programmer on. I think Eunice likes me so much, and he's always compared me to other people he's worked with because I am a cheerleader. I use positive reinforcement. I tell them how great they are. I express how pleased I am with the project, the way it's progressing. And if you really pump them up, they don't want to fail you. It comes to a point where, you know, if they do miss the deadline, it's like all these sad faces and they're sorry and you can feel the regret. And it really does work to have that relationship there as well. And I'm all long term with all the people I work with. And it's because I know how to treat them well. And I thought that's just how the world works. You be nice to people be nice to you. But, you know, with my young age, I'm finding people have come from situations where people were, you know, jackasses to them. So when they find a good person, they value you just as much as you value them. And like I said, if you find a good programmer who works efficiently and timely, that is an asset to you. And, you know, they provide value to you. They go beyond what you asked them to do, like Eunice did with me. Pay them a bonus. I paid Eunice, I believe, and I have to go to my Rent-A-Coder to confirm this, but I think it was $500 bonus when the project was $500. I gave him 100% bonus, and we never looked back. We went forward from there. So those are the steps to take your community off the ground and actually get it, you know, get the ball rolling on the development, I should say. Now, if you're a do-it-yourself type of person, you want to get it started yourself, you know, just to see how this thing works. I can give you some guidance as well. because there is this thing called cPanel and Fantastical Deluxe. And you got to find web hosts that come with cPanel, because not all web hosts come with cPanel. For example, GoDaddy doesn't have cPanel. cPanel basically comes with the web host, and it's this place that you log into, and everything's there for you. If you want to do a redirect, like, you know, transfer people from this page to that page, it does it on the spot. You don't have to go call a programmer to do that. If you want to do subdomains like sales.abc.com, you can do that. You don't have to call a programmer. If you want a password protected directory, like I did Sticky Marketer, I did that in 2 seconds. That's what cPanel does. It allows certain functions. You want to create a database, a table, you can do it. But another thing it comes with, you know, and I use HostGator because HostGator offers cPanel with Fantastical Deluxe, and it offers this thing called Web Host Manager, and it not only lets you host as many websites as you want, it's almost like you're a host, because they offer this reseller package. Get the reseller package if you're interested in this. You can host as many websites as you want. You can even host for your family and friends and charge them. It has the billing already built in. But I don't use it for that. I use it because, number one, I want to host all my sites. Sticky Marketer is hosted on this, for example. And each website that you host comes with a cPanel. And every cPanel comes with Fantastico. And the big thing behind Fantastico is that it lets you automatically install dozens of scripts and systems already on your website. You know, when people say get a programmer to install this, no, not with cPanel, not with Fantastico. You can do it by yourself. And let me actually show you what I'm talking about. Well, before I show you, here's some of the things it lets you install. Like if you want a blog, you don't have to go and then, you know, get a programmer to install WordPress or P Machine or Nucleus or B2 Evolution. You can do it with one click. Discussion boards. I created Community Mastermind, you know, 5 minutes. Well, really 2 minutes using Fantastico. You click on what you want. You tell it where to install, and bam, it's there. E-commerce systems. I've created an e-commerce system for my mom at store.churchladydresses.com using Fantastico and OS Commerce, which is open source. All these are open source. Content management systems lets you install Drupal, Geeklog, Joomla, Mambo, PHP Nuke, all of these, Post Nuke. Now, when you install this and you try to compare against my site, I guarantee you, you won't even know that, because it's a very basic version, and then you add on things to it, and I'll kind of explain that to you. And, you know, from that point on, let's actually go to cPanel. Now, first of all, you go to HostGator, and here's the package that you want. It's just $24, but you get that cPanel. And this is cPanel. I'm at hearandplay.org. And notice, I can check my mail, change passwords, protect directories, make databases, subdomains, get my stats, bulletin board. But this is what I want to click on. Is this thing right here. So you click on that, and you pretty much have all these services that you can install right here and there. And if I actually go back to my presentation, I have a few examples, and there's even more here. Customer relations, you can do Pearl Desk. I mean, like support desk, you can install them. You don't have to pay. Frequently asked question scripts, image galleries, I mean, tons of stuff, even other scripts like classified sites, real estate sites, like you can actually upload all kinds of stuff, auction sites, web calendars. Now, I mean, they may not be for million visit, you know, sites or anything like that, but they can definitely get you started. Here's some examples. I create this blog, and I'll go back to my live cPanel in a second. I just want to show you some examples, but I create this blog 2 minutes. I installed WordPress, and then I went to WordPress Theme Finder, because you can go find like thousands of themes out there for WordPress. Installed in a second, and bam. Griggs blog, installed this, 2 minutes. Photo gallery for my family. Installed this using that Copermine photo gallery. That's one of the options in cPanel Fantastico Deluxe. Couple minutes. Pick the right horse. Did this for my father-in-law. It was his own blog that he could write in, hadn't wrote in a while, but did this 2 minutes. So those are some examples. Now let me go back to cPanel, and let's just see if we wanted to just install, let's just say we want to install a WordPress blog or something, or know, we can either do Drupal too. Now, I already have one at test, but just to show you how easy it is, I click on new installation. It asks me, where do I want it? Let's just say I want it at Sticky Blog, right? And you're not supposed to put the forward slash. I did that accidentally. And then I pick my username. It can be like Sticky. My password can be Sticky, I guess. You know, my name will be Sticky, Mr. Sticky. And then, you know, whatever email I want, I'll probably just go JermaineCoach@HearAndPlay.com. My description, let's see, Sticky Marketing. And then I can create password again. I'll make it Sticky. And then I go install. And then I go finish installation. Now, remember I said it was that, and here's my, it's telling me this is where I can log in as an administrator using the password. And then if I go back to WordPress, it'll add what I did there. So, you know, whatever your domain name / sticky blog, I can visit it. And notice this is hearandplay.org/sticky blog. There's my little description. It set me up a basic blog. I mean, I'm ready to go. I can customize all these things. I can log in as an administrator. You know, I think I was sticky. Once that loads, I can go to write. I can go, you know, welcome to my blog today or something. Welcome to my blog. Welcome. Are you ready to get sticky? And then I can go publish. And I can always view my site here. Welcome to my blog. Welcome. Are you ready to get? So you can see how easy it is. And then if I wanted to change the look and feel, all I got to do, because this is a WordPress and generally all these scripts that it allows you to install, if you will, all of them come with their own worlds. Like you can go places and find themes for them. That's how PostNuke works as well. That's how Drupal, you know, you find themes, or, you know, different sites call them different things, you know, themes, modules. You just find the homepage or the support groups or the communities for these things, these different services that cPanel lets you install. And I mean, you're in heaven. I can go WordPress themes. Now, keep in mind, this is a generic thing that it let me install here. And I can actually go here, and here's a bunch of themes that I can install, like this little car here. But there's pages upon pages of themes. I mean, hundreds of pages, like this one right here. I mean, this actually looks pretty nice. So what I do, I just download it, and they have instructions. You know, I've done this enough times, I know how to do it, but you can simply click on instructions and it'll show you. But I save this to my desktop. So here it is right here. I open it. Here it is right here. I extract it just like anything else. And it's extracting as we speak. Now the folder is open, okay? I'm going to be clean here and take out all my other ones. Now I open my FTP program. Now, if you don't know what an FTP is, I mean, okay, maybe you're not as technical, and maybe you can still use people to do this for you. But, I mean, remember, I haven't used FTP until I wanted to really customize things. It installed it without me having knowledge of FTP. Now, I'll go to hearandplay.org because that's where I installed my blog. I go to my public area. And then I find, see how Sticky Blog is there? Even though I haven't touched FTP, it installed it for me. It did all the technical stuff that a programmer would have had to do and charge you $100 for. It did that for free. I click there. Now, obviously, I know where to go, but you'll read the simple instructions. And so I go to content. I go to themes. And that theme I just downloaded. Now, let's go find it. Here it is. I'm just going to drag it to here. And this is, and I'm almost done in 3 minutes with this. This is to show you how easy it is. If you did want to do things yourself, you can get started and you can have a programmer come in and take it from there. This is an option for you just to maybe integrate a certain component of stickiness to your current site, for example, because you can set up a form right away through this. You can set up, you know, various content management systems. Okay, so now that I have this here, I can get rid of all of this. I can even get rid of this. I can get rid of this. I can get rid of, I can't get rid of that. So what I need to do is go to my blog. So I'll go back to Fantastico. Then I'll go back to WordPress. And then I'll click visit site. And then I'm going to log in as an administrator. And I'm going to go to presentation. Now, I know how to do this, so don't feel bad. Then I'm going to go to themes. And remember this theme? It was the one I just added to my FTP. I'm going to click it. And what do you know? Activate it. I'm going to go to view site. And now, wow, I have a nice creative theme. Hello, world. Welcome to my blog. I mean, this looks nice. I mean, it looks better. And then I can have a designer come in and change this right here or whatnot. But I mean, honestly, this looks better than JermaineGriggs.com. And this is before I knew about cPanel. I had somebody install this for me. But that's just an idea. Now, you can go down this list. When I first got, you know, word on this year or so ago, I went down this list and I installed everything. I mean, I installed Drupal. I mean, because it's so easy. As long as you don't make this sticky blog, because you've already, you know, have that, you can't name stuff the same stuff and it won't let you. But you just click new installation. I can call this Drupal. You know, I create my username. Let's see, Drupal. And then I install it. And then I press finish installation. And it's at hearandplay.org/Drupal. I click on it. And there's my Drupal site, all ready to go. Of course, I can customize this. It even has instructions. Configure, enable, customize, start posting content. Then I can go to the Drupal community, just like I went to the WordPress community. I can go find add-ons, modules, plugins to install myself the same way. So if you're willing to get your feet a little wet, basically what I'm saying, there are some things that you can do on your own. So that is the build it part of it. And I will go over questions. I realize there probably will be questions. People have questions on cPanel. Don't hesitate to submit them to me. Questions on Fantastico or questions on just finding the right programmer. In fact, if you want me to help you filter through some programmers, if you want to use Rent-A-Coder or Guru, feel free. Take a copy of the screen or email me the replies you're getting, and I can help you through it. If you want to use Eunice, well, you already have it one because he already knows what to do. So let's move on to components that your sticky site should have.